Okay, today we're going to start talking about set theory. This is one of the most fundamental ideas in all of modern mathematics, so it's something we want to learn solidly and completely. We'll begin with some commentary. Even the most elementary considerations in logic can lead to confusion. Suppose we wish to define the notion of line. We might say that it's the shortest path between two points. This is not completely satisfactory because we have not yet defined path or point. And when we say shortest path, we mean there is one unique shortest path. And why does it exist? Every new definition is perforce formulated in terms of other ideas, and those ideas in terms of other ones. Where does this regression stop? The accepted method for dealing with this problem is to begin with certain terms, as few as possible, that are agreed to be undefinable. These terms should be so simple that there can be little argument as to their meaning. But it is agreed in advance that these undefinable terms simply cannot be defined in terms of ideas that have been previously defined. Our undefined terms are our starting place. In modern mathematics, it is common to use set and element of as undefinables. A set is declared to be a collection of objects. Now, please don't ask what an object is or what a collection is, because this is an undefinable. If S is a set, then we say that X is an element of S, and we write X element of S, or S contains X, precisely when X is one of the objects that compose the set S. For example, we write 5 is an element of blackboard bold N to indicate that the number 5 is an element of the set of natural numbers. We write minus 7 is not an element of blackboard bold N to specify that minus 7 is not an element of the natural numbers. Okay, so let's begin to build up set theory. We say that two sets S and T are equal precisely when they have the same elements, and we write S equals T. As an example of equality of sets, if S is a set of natural numbers X so that X squared is bigger than 3, and T is a set of all natural numbers X so that X is bigger than or equal to 2, then S equals T. We just have two different descriptions of the very same set. Incidentally, the method of specifying a set with the notation set of all x colon p of x, where p is a property, is the most common method in mathematics of defining a set. This is sometimes called set builder notation. When we discuss the formal axiomatics of set theory later on, we will see that one of the axioms explicitly mandates that sets may be described in this way. We shall try in what follows to formulate all of our set theoretic notions in a rigorous and logical fashion from the undefinable set and element of. If at any point we arrive at an untenable position or a logical contradiction or a fallacy, then we know that the fault lies with either our method of reasoning or with our undefinables or with our axioms. One of the advantages of the way that we do mathematics is that if there's ever trouble, then we know where that trouble must lie. However, it should be stressed that basic mathematics is known to be, and indeed has been proved to be, logically consistent. Strictly speaking, all notions of consistency in mathematics are relative to a higher order system, and you would learn about those ideas in a course on formal mathematical logic. We're not going to treat them here because they're too sophisticated. The strict way in which we organize the subject is an important step in establishing this consistency. We shall say more about consistency and also about independence later on. Beginning in this section, we will be doing mathematics in the way that is usually done. That is, we shall define terms and we shall state and prove properties that they satisfy. In earlier chapters, we were careful, but we were less mathematical. Sometimes we even had to say, this is the way we do it, don't worry. Many of the topics in the earlier part of the course are really only best understood from the advanced perspective of mathematical logic. Now, and for the rest of the book, it is time to show you how mathematics is done in practice. So we're going to state theorems and we're going to prove them. We have already said what theorems, propositions, lemmas, and proofs are. Another formal ingredient of mathematical exposition is the definition. The definition usually introduces a new piece of terminology or a new idea and explains what it means in terms of ideas and terminology that have already been treated. As you read this chapter, pause frequently to check that we are following this paradigm. Definition. Let S and T be sets. We say that S is a subset of T, and we write S subset T or T superset S if X is an element of S implies X is an element of T. This is a very important definition because we frequently want to know that a first set is a subset of a second set, and the way you check it is by an implication. S is a subset of T, provided X is an element of S implies X is an element of T. Of course, you don't prove a definition. There's nothing to prove. A definition introduces you to a new idea or piece of terminology or piece of notation, and that's what we've just done. So here's a couple of examples to illustrate this idea of subset. Let S be the set of natural numbers which are greater than 3. Let T be the set of natural numbers whose square is greater than 4. Determine whether S is a subset of T or T is a subset of S. The key to success and clarity in handling subset questions is use the definition. To see whether S is a subset of T, we must check whether X in S implies X in T. Now, if X is an S, then X is greater than 3 by definition. Hence, X squared is bigger than 9, so certainly X squared is bigger than 4. And that shows that X is in T. So our syllogism is proved, and S is a subset of T. The reverse inclusion is false. For example, the number 3 is an element of T, but is not an element of S, because 3 is not greater than 3. Here's another example. Let Z denote the blackboard bold Z denote the system of integers. Let S be the set containing minus 2 and 3. Let T be the set of integers so that x cubed minus x squared minus 6x equals 0. Determine whether S is a subset of T or T is a subset of S. To see whether S is a subset of T, we must check whether X in S implies X in T. So let X in S, then X is either equal to minus 2 or 3. If X equals minus 2, then X cubed minus X squared minus 6X equals minus 2 cubed minus minus 2 squared minus 6 times minus 2, and just doing a little arithmetic, we see that that's equal to 0. Also, if X equals 3, then X cubed minus X squared minus 6x equals 3 cubed minus 3 squared minus 6 times 3 also equals 0. This verifies the syllogism. X is an element of S implies X is an element of T. Therefore, S is a subset of T. The reverse inclusion is false because 0 is an element of T, but 0 is not an element of S. And another example, let S be the set of natural numbers X so that X is bigger than or equal to 4. Let T be the set of natural numbers X so that X is less than 9. Is it true that S is a subset of T or T is a subset of S? Both inclusions are false. For 10 is an element of S, but 10 is not an element of T, and 2 is an element of T, but 2 is not an element of S. And we'll conclude today's discussion with a proposition relating all these ideas we've been discussing. Let S and T be sets. Then S equals T if and only if both S is a subset of T and T is a subset of S. So when you prove an if and only if statement, there are two implications to prove. First, assume S equals T. Then by definition, S and T have precisely the same elements. In particular, this means that X is an element of S implies X is an element of T. And also, X is an element of T implies X is an element of S. That is, S is a subset of T and T is a subset of S. So, assuming that S equals T, we've shown that S is a subset of T and T is a subset of S. That's half our job. For the other direction, suppose S is a subset of T and T is a subset of S. Seeking a contradiction, assume that S is not equal to T. Then either there is some element of S that is not an element of T, or there's some element of T that is not an element of S. The first eventuality contradicts the statement S is a subset of T, and the second eventuality contradicts the statement T is a subset of S. And therefore, we conclude that, in fact, S equals T. That's the end of today's discussion. Thank you.